Animals from Maroon 5 on the Phoenix FM Breakfast Show. Before that, Florence and the Machine, You Got the Love. It's coming up to 10 past 9 on Thursday morning. Time to say good morning to Alex Ling. Good morning, mate.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Bit tired?
Yeah, getting there. It's a bit of an early morning for me.
What's the usual time you wake up?
Well, it depends what I'm doing, really. If I'm not busy doing anything to do with my racing, then probably get up about 9 in the morning.
So, for people who don't know, Alex is the GP3 Series Champion. Are you tired yet of being introduced as Alex Lynn, the GP3 Series Champion?
It's happened quite regularly recently, obviously, but no, obviously, I'm extremely proud to be able to say that I've won something as prestigious as that, and yeah, it's a pretty cool feeling.
So, how long ago was it now, Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi was, obviously my last race. It was about 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, because you found out you won in quite a bizarre fashion, because you knew you had won it after qualifying. Do you want to just explain how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the way our race weekend works, we get points for the qualifying session and both races. So then the guy that was in second in the championship needed to be on pole position to even carry on the championship fight, but he did manage to do it. So then even after qualifying, I'd won, which, like you said, was a pretty bizarre feeling. But in the end, I'll take it anyway it comes.
What was the race day like, though? Because you went into the race day going, I've won. Because normally you go into a race day going, right, win, you've got an aim, you've got a focus. But really, you had no focus because you'd achieved what you wanted.
I mean, from a personal level, like, that side had been, like, ticked off, shall we say. But my team was actually in a very close battle to win the team's championship. So that was a good way of sort of really focusing on something. And, you know, it really kept my, let's say, goal alive, you know, to keep myself hungry for it.
How important is the team side of it? Because we saw a lot on the F1 with the whole Hamilton-Rosberg saga this year. How important is that? Obviously, you've got your own name. You want to win it. But the team must be an important part of it.
I mean, financially, there's a massive benefit from winning the team's championship. Like, most of the prize money goes into the team's championship. So, you know, from a personal point of view, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference to me. But actually, these guys work so hard for us all throughout the year. It's really nice to give something back to them. So it's a big benefit that way.
And how does it feel? It's been a pretty epic year for British motorsport, with Hamilton winning the F1, Palmer winning the GP2, and yourself winning in GP3. Is it pretty cool to be part of that?
It's really cool to be part of such a, you know, landmark year for British motorsport. And I think, to be honest, British motorsport is the best in the world, and by far, I don't think anybody's come close to matching, you know, what Formula One teams do based in the UK and everything. It's really cut above everybody else.
Okay, I do want to play you something now. So when I was researching for this interview, you do the traditional whack the name Alex Lynn into Google, go on YouTube, watch some of the videos. And I found it quite weird that the first things that come up aren't Alex Lynn lifting his trophy, Alex Lynn crossing the finish line. It's Alex Lynn crashes.
Yeah.
I found it so bizarre that, oh, that's so nice of the internet. Rather than celebrate winning, the first videos that come up on YouTube are of crashes. And this was my favourite clip that I found. The commentary on this is really good.
Comes Alex Lynn. They're side by side, almost touching on a new touch, and both go off. Oh!
That's the bit I love. Oh!
Sonellas and Alex Lynn, and debris everywhere.
So is it quite weird that... Nowhere. Do you find that annoying? Go, come on, celebrate me doing well. Don't put my crashes on there. Focus on the good stuff.
I suppose the thing is, like... winning sometimes gets a bit boring, and what a lot of people watch motor racing to see massive crashes, and yeah, on that day I gave them exactly what they wanted to see.
I mean, I am guilty of it. I remember at school once for my English GCSE, we had to do a presentation to the class, and I did one on Formula One, and a whole feature of it was the best crashes of Formula One. So I'm guilty of it myself.
I don't blame you. There's some pretty spectacular ones, and it is an interesting part. It, you know, as long as, you know, unfortunately people do get hurt, but you know, it's interesting to watch when people don't get hurt, and yeah, it's a spectacular crash.
Let's hear it one more time.
Comes Alex Lynn. They're side by side, almost touching on a new touch, and both go off. Oh!
Ow! That's the best bit. But what is it like, that feeling of you've just hit the car and you know you're spinning off? What goes through your head?
I don't know, really. I get asked it quite a lot of times, but to be honest, there's a certain amount of, like, acceptance, like, you're accepting it's happening, and then you're just waiting for it to be over. I don't know, it's a weird feeling. Like, when you're in the car anyway, you're sort of in the zone. So then, like, when you know you're about to crash, it's, yeah, there's an acceptance of, yeah, this is happening.
And take me.
Yeah, there's not a lot I can do about it.
Take me into the barrier. We're going to take a short break. We've got some adverts, and then we'll talk about next year, because there's a lot of talk about what's happening next year. So we need to talk about that. And we'll talk about some of the music as well that you might listen to around race days. So more from Alex very shortly.
The Phoenix FM Breakfast Show.
Take that. These days. I'm still joined live in the studio by GP3 driver Alex Lynn. All good?
All good.
Were you taking a picture?
No, I was trying to show you what, like, another song that I was going to ask if you had, but don't worry about it.
Okay, what was it?
It was Desire, Years and Years.
I do have that. It was a former track of the week of mine.
It's an absolute banger.
There we go. I'll play that afterwards. I'll play that at the end of the interview.
All right, fair enough.
We are talking about that because I was talking to Alex off air. Because we play a lot of music on the show, I was interested. You see a lot of the drivers listen to music before the race, get them in the zone. So what sort of music do you listen to before a big race?
I mean, to be fair, it's usually fairly varied. It depends if I feel like I need to be a bit more revved up, or if I feel like I'm getting a bit too, let's say, excited, then I'll play something that calms me down a little bit. But most of the time I try and listen to something fairly like heavy dance, or yeah, just something to get me going. Like, I like a lot of dance music and house and stuff like that.
Do you find it like does actually work, like the type of music you listen to can affect you before a race?
Yeah, genuinely it sort of just brings a bit of a focus to everything. Like, usually you have your own, you have your favorite songs, let's say, that you know are going to get you into a certain feeling, and then it just sort of becomes like natural. Like, it becomes a natural way of getting ready. So you get changed, you have a chat with the team, and then, you know, the next thing is, okay, I'm gonna listen to my music. And it, yeah, it just brings a focus to everything.
Are you one for superstitions at all?
Oh, massively. Probably too much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are some of them?
Oh, I've got like a pair of lucky pants. I only get into the car from one side. I have to put my left boot on first and stuff.
So proper?
Yeah, it's probably too far, and but, you know, it kind of works.
Okay, so you did mention you sometimes listen to a bit of Pendulum before a race.
Yeah.
So we'll play some now. So imagine you are Alex Lynn, everybody. You're getting in the zone for a big race. This is what's going through Alex Lynn's mind. This is Pendulum and Watercolour on Phoenix FM. Watercolour from Pendulum on Phoenix FM, coming up to 9:30. Just a taste of what Alex listens to pre-race. It's good hearing that, big record.
I think it's a bit much for 9:30 in the morning, but you know.
Yeah, sorry if you are just getting up and the first thing you've heard is Watercolour by Pendulum.
It's a bit aggressive for that, isn't it?
This is quite aggressive too.
Here comes Alex Lynn. They're side by side, almost touching on a new touch, and both go off.
It's so good that. We were talking earlier about how if you go on to Google, the first thing that comes up, and this happens with most racing drivers, they highlight the crashes rather than the race wins.
It's a lot more interesting, let's be honest.
It is more interesting than watching someone spray some champagne.
Yeah.
Watching their car flip upside down is slightly more epic viewing.
Oh, absolutely.
So we can't not have you on and talk about next year. I know everyone's talking about it. There was talk about the Toro Rosso seat. And then I read something yesterday. Apparently you've said that's probably not going to happen now, but you're hoping for a reserve role maybe. So what can you tell us about next year?
What can I say is it's looking very, very positive that I'm going to be a third driver or a reserve driver for one of the major Formula One teams. The chance of getting a race seat is very, very difficult. And I think the established lot have got like a very good stronghold within the race driver seats. So hopefully if I can get a third driver role or reserve for next year, and then hopefully then for 2016 get the race seat with a team that I feel that can one day help me produce a world championship. And you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I've been on this journey since I've been 11 years old now to one day become Formula One world champion. That's, you know, that's what it's all about. Being there is one thing, but then being world champion is what it's really, really about.
Because yeah, you mentioned it's important to choose the right team, because I read an article when researching for the interview that Caterham came up, but you would probably not choose to go to that, and quite understandably, with all the problems going on there. So even if an opportunity comes up, you've still got to look at it and go, is this the right place for me?
Yeah, absolutely, because you only get one chance in something like Formula One. You know, there's only one shot. Once you've been there and been out, you don't come back. You know, you're already on the scrap heap. So when you do make your appearance, you've got to make sure that you're going to stay there and you're going to be able to do a good job. Like, sometimes if it's not the right circumstance, you don't get the opportunity to show what you can do, and then you can quite quickly find yourself out the door.
Because you've got to have a good team about you, because it's not just about, you could be the best driver in the world, if you've got a rubbish car, you've not got hope in hell of winning it. So you've got to make sure you've got the right people around you, the right car. There's a lot to consider before agreeing to anything, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, one of the cool things about racing in general is there's so many elements that need to come together, be it the team, the car, the driver, to allow yourself to win. So like you said, that's why it's become so important to be in the right situation at the right time. You know, if you take Formula One this year, for example, like, Lewis hasn't won a championship since 2008, even though he's been the best driver for all those years, because he hasn't been in the right circumstance, in the right car, in the right team, he hasn't won another one. And it's taken him this long to show what he can do again. And, you know, that's really what it's like. There's, like I said, there's so many things that need to come together to allow you to win.
I have a guy called Chris come on my show Wednesdays. He does like a local sport roundup. He does a sports show on the station. And I went to him on air yesterday. Have you got a question for Alex? And he said he'd get back to me. And he did get back to me last night.
Yep.
So this is from Chris. It's about the barriers to entry, especially in something like motorsport, because even from a young age, you say you started at 11, you need a lot of backing financially, sponsorship, because it's not a cheap sport to take up. So do you think the barriers to entry for motorsport are too high and too tough?
Oh, they're way too tough. Like, it's like almost impossible to try and, you know, even if you're lucky enough to have like big sponsors or big backers to a certain age, you're 9 times out of 10 always going to become unstuck at some point, because it just gets more and more expensive. But, you know, what we're seeing is like guys from other countries get like government funding, or, you know, like government oil companies and stuff like that. And like, what's so cool in the UK is that there's a lot of us that are all very, very good. But also the slight disadvantage of that is that when you've got so many good drivers, then it dilutes all the other sponsorship for everyone, if you know what I mean. But in the end, we do get a lot of support from manufacturers and stuff. Like, I've been lucky enough to be picked up by Red Bull and things like that. And, you know, manufacturers like Mercedes-Benz, you know, fund a lot of young drivers and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, like, they need us for the sport to carry on. So it's in their interest to help us.
We need to talk about as well, you recently did some testing for the Lotus F1 team. That must have been a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, that was pretty unbelievable, to be honest. Like, I think, you always dream of what's a Formula One car going to feel like, and I can absolutely guarantee it's as cool as it looks, and it is a lot faster than it looks as well.
And one thing I want to ask you as well, for example, you drove here this morning. Is it weird going in a normal car on normal roads? Are you ever tempted to be like, right, take him on the outside?
Not really, to be honest. The only thing that really frustrates me is the traffic. But I suppose, like, I've been doing it since I'm 17, obviously, and just become quite normal, to be honest. Like, even when I was racing in the UK, like, I drove to the race tracks, raced during the day, then drove home. Just, yeah, it becomes quite normal.
See, I'd be so tempted to get in F1 mode. I'd be like, right, let's have him.
The thing is, though, like, it's scary. Like, things that happen on the road, like, it's really scary. Like, yeah, I'd be scared to drive fast on the road, genuinely.
At least on the track, there's no one about.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's so many things to hit. Like, let's say you go around a corner quite quick, because, like, obviously I've experienced it quite a lot.
We know.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know, sometimes if I go around a corner quite fast, and then I think, God, there's that lamppost there, there's that tree, there's that other car, there's that house. Like, there's so many things to hit, whereas on the track, there really isn't.
It's just gravel or something.
Yeah, so. Even that, like, that's becoming more and more rare.
And finally, we need to say, when you found out, after you'd done the race, the night you'd won, must have been a pretty good night.
It was fairly epic, yeah. I must say.
Any sort of stories that are acceptable for this time?
Only that I found out I was going to be driving the F1 car at like 4 in the morning in the after party.
So you were partying, and during the after party, you get the call,
yeah,
going,
you're in the car.
We want you to come and drive an F1 car.
Yeah. And that was a pretty daunting feeling, because obviously, yeah, fairly worse for wear at that point, and then it's like, oh no.
Oh.
It's a dim realisation that you got sober up fairly quickly.
Well, thanks for coming in. best of luck for whatever happens next year. I'm sure we'll find out. Can we find out fairly soon? Expect an announcement?
I definitely think before Christmas, yeah.
So find out what happens with Alex next year. Thanks for coming in. And we'll play this Years and Years track now.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.